Glory to God. Glory to God. If you read the devotional, you know that the Lord said, I have something special for you today. And like I said, I will leave when and how he said this, but he said, I have something special for you today. And then he said, and I want you to tell people. I have something special for them, too. And just as we were finishing up worship, he said, as wonderful as that is, that's not it. So, God has something special for you. I don't know where, I don't know when, but he has something special for you. And so you just plan on something special.
I feel like there's something running out.
Hallelujah. Something special. Something special. Something special while we're here together. That was something special, but as wonderful as it was, that's not it, God said. Isn't that nice of him? You know? Don't be thinking it's over. Be waiting for it to continue. Something special. So, you know, God's word is special. It really is. I never cease to be amazed at how it just keeps talking. I mean, it just does. If you'll read the word, he'll give you something. You know, it just does. And if we'll have ears to hear, he just does. He just does. You know, I mean, and when he does, it's not always a whoopee. It's more sometimes, you know, it's like I said, that it just sort of challenged me when he talked about, he was saying in Philippians 2, and he says, come on, it's there. Oh, yeah, he says in verse 21, all the others care only for themselves. He's talking to Timothy. He said, there's none like my son Timothy, you know. And he said, there's no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. And then he said, all those others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. And I read that and I just put a note in my journal and said, you know, do I care about what matters to Jesus? No. To make sure that we care about what matters to Jesus. I'd like to think that a good portion of the time I care about what matters to Jesus, but sometimes I care about what matters to me. And if I don't run it through the filter of what matters to Jesus, I might just be taking care of me. You know? So how it matters to Jesus. It's a good question to ask myself. I'm not telling you to ask yourself that. I'm just saying what matters to Jesus. In the middle of things, that verse is not underlined in my Bible, or it wasn't until now. And here's the thing about this. Philippians, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. But he wrote to the church in Hymar. He wrote to Hosanna. He wrote to everything. Every word of God is written down. And so he's writing to us. Well, you know, Philippians starts out with, okay, is there anything good about Jesus? That's basically. He's not saying like there isn't anything good. He's just saying, is there any joy? Is there any reason to rejoice in Jesus? Is there anything? Is there, you know, if there's anything, if there's encouragement in belonging to Christ, is there encouragement belonging to Christ? Amen. You know, I mean, if there is, he says, if there is any comfort from his love, is there comfort from his love?
Yes.
Will you allow his love to comfort you? You know, There's comfort in when we worship together and His presence is here and He's speaking to us about how much He loves us and how He covers us and how He protects us and He's talking to us and you know, vocal gifts are expressed. And so that's, you know, it's like, yeah, but is there comfort in His love like out there? Is there comfort in His love, you know, even when I can't feel it? He's working. Is there comfort, you know? He's reminding them, you and Hosanna, is there comfort in His love? You know, He's writing to us. If he wasn't writing to us, then we aren't going to read Philippians anymore. We'll just leave Philippians out. It's got a lot of challenging things. That'd be a good one to tear out. You know, I'll just take out that page. I wouldn't do that, except it was already out. I'm trying to keep it in. You know. The pastor tore a page out of his Bible all these years and now he's going to hell. No, he's not. I'm going to heaven. I'm more excited. I'll never forget when I was in Russia and I was on the stage and then I jumped down off the stage and I set my Bible on the platform and the man came up to me and said, "You put your Bible on the floor." It was like, I said, "Yeah, I guess I did. I put it on the floor on floor two." You know, it was like, oh, you know, it's like, it just, you know, I said, this is a book. You know, I had to set it somewhere. And the word is in my heart. I don't know. But then that same guy the next night brought me a bottle of Russian vodka. I said, "Thank you. I won't drink it, but thank you." And the next night he came and told me it was okay that I didn't drink it. That's good, because I wasn't going to bring it home as a trophy. Look what I got, kids, you know. But it was an honor from him, but anyway. A lot of things happen when it comes to the Word of God. But he's talking to us. He goes on to say in Philippians chapter 3, he goes on to say, he goes on in Philippians 2. Anyway, he said, okay, so, and are your hearts tender and compassionate? First he asks them if there's any encouragement belonging to Christ. Yeah, okay. And are you comforted by His love? Well, yeah, sure. Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? Well, you know, I mean, yeah, we got it. We got it going. We got it going. We're here. We got it going. When we're out there, do we have it going? Probably when we see each other. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Are our hearts tender and compassionate? You know, are they moldable? You know, I've been, you know, sometimes the Word of God just sort of, it numbs me. And some things will just sort of numb me. And Vicki and I were talking about the situation in Syria where they're back at it, killing Christians. Just killing them. The old thing of, well, if you'll deny Christ, then we'll let you go. If you don't, we won't. And they say, we won't deny Christ. We won't. That's a mic drop. Yeah. You know, we won't deny Christ, and so they're killing them. And we... We don't have opportunities like that. Can anyone say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. We don't have that here. I think there's potential for it, even in the United States. I think that there's people that hear those reports and think, oh, I'd like to do that. Isn't that sad? But I think we don't have that too much. So we don't have to worry too much about that. Do we? But you know what? There's compromise and there's denial opportunities and a lot of other things that are not so obvious. See, Paul's writing to us too, and so we need to be willing. We need to prepare. We need to be able to say in our hearts, you know what? I would not deny Christ. I know that I would not deny Christ. Now, it's hard to put ourselves in a position like that that is so real. Have such a real dream about it and find out how you do in the real dream about it, you know. And Paul's writing to us just as much as them, you know, and he said, if I die, that's fine with me. You know? I mean, I understand when Paul, I've lived a lot longer than I ever thought that I would. And now I just plan to go ahead and live until I die because I'm alive. But, you know, I mean, at 18, I was ready to die for my country. I was pretty drunk when I said it, but I was willing to die for my country. I've had 18 years here, I'll gladly give my life for my country. I'm going to get my physical, I'm gonna uniform up, and I'll die for my country, It could have changed when I sobered up and they sent me, but, you know, in my mind, that was what I was thinking then. Probably better to go out that way than the way I was headed to try to go out. I don't know. You know what I mean? But, I mean, it's like, Paul's just saying, hey, are you tender and compassionate? Will you give your life? Will you give your life for the cause of Christ? You know? Will we dedicate ourselves to the Lord and be followers of Jesus and care about what matters and what matters to Him? All those others only care for themselves and not for what matters to Christ. Do you ever find yourself possibly catching yourself more concerned about your circumstances than what Christ thinks about your circumstances? You know? I mean, one way to defeat it is if we're honest about it, like, ooh, you know? Yeah, I mean, this, I'm giving Vicky a box of shells here. She can shoot at me and say, does that matter to Jesus, Roger? You know? How she has decided that she feels about her cupboards, does that matter to Jesus? Probably, because he's always going her way, you know. He does, and that's okay. That trains me up for war. But you know, does it, what about what matters to Jesus? It matters to Jesus where our hearts are. When we think about these things, you know, there's no sense in us sitting here saying, well, we don't ever have to worry about somebody coming and saying, deny Christ. But here's the thing, if somebody says to you, okay, what's the benefit? What's the real benefit of knowing Christ? Is there really joy in Jesus? You know? You have an answer, right? You have an answer. Yes, there is. You know? What? Aren't you ever down Yeah, probably. I don't like it. I won't do it. I won't stay there. But I won't say, well, I'm never down. You know? I would say that I'm never down, but I don't always act perfectly. How about that? Because the Lord really does hold us up. You know, we know that. I suppose if I'm down, it would be if I found myself caring more about me than I do about the cause of Christ. That would be a bummer. Or while I'm trying to decide, do I care what matters to Christ? You know, I mean that's a I don't want to be guilty of that. But that's what the Word is for. The Word of God is to build us up and grow us up and patch us up where we got those little tears and got those little weak spots, and the Lord puts it together. He's molding us. He's doing what only He can do. So, if there is anything worthwhile, if there is, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other and loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. There had been reports that got to Paul. And so he didn't call anybody out, later he does, but you know, he just said, okay, so then let's act this way. Because you see, when he was saying, is there any benefit, is there any encouragement and stuff, you know, yeah, absolutely. Ah, yeah. This is going to be another great letter from Paul. And then he says, so act like it. Uh-oh. Who told? You know, who told? This isn't going to be all, you know, roses and raisins. So, and that's when he starts saying, look, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You got to have the same attitude that Jesus had. Why does he always do this to us? We get these letters and we're thinking, we think we're doing pretty good, and we weren't doing very good at all. Sometimes, okay. I have all that I need, but more of you, Jesus. You know? I mean, that's just how it is. We can drift. Even, you know, we're anchored in Christ, but if we don't drop the anchor, we could drift. You know? If we're not prepared at every opportunity or prepared in every circumstance, you know, we can get blown away. And so let this truth be in you. Let this word be in you. Let it dwell in you richly, you know. Just, you know, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. These little things that we know so well. We know these little pieces of Scripture. If you think about it, all these little pieces that we just know, that we can just rattle, man, there's a book in them. You know? And just because we can say them doesn't mean we're doing them. And so Paul was just writing to them to encourage them and to encourage Timothy. Because there was none so wonderful as Timothy, Paul said, caring about the people. There was none like him. Just he was doing a great job. This is just echoing in my ear and probably in yours too. Then, no, yes or no?
No, it's okay.
Oh, just me that's getting that. Okay. Well, an echo. Yeah, it'll be fine. I think it gets it straight through it. It doesn't get it through the speakers, and maybe it's echoing because it's like a pay attention, Roger. You know, because I want to pay attention. I don't want to talk to you and then get in my car to head to jail and have the Lord saying, did you hear what you said? Did you get that? No. I'll listen to it again, Lord, and make sure that I get it all. But, you know, he do verses ever jump out at you? Verses of the Bible when you're reading. Do they jump out at you? Does everyone that jumps out at you just let you know that, man, you're doing that? Or does some of them jump out at you that say, of course, the ones, if you're doing that you don't want to do, and it jumps out at you and says, you're losing track of what matters to Jesus, then that's a different thing. That isn't how this jumped out at me, but it made me stop and say how important it is that we do the things that matter to Jesus. And that we don't have such a light impression of him that we can say, well, that doesn't matter to Jesus. Because there would be people that you might see, people that you might even know, people that might be doing something or saying something, and we might say something, and they'd say, well, that doesn't matter to Jesus. It does. It matters. It matters to Jesus. And then it matters to me. It matters to me what my children do still. Or what they say. Or how they respond. It matters to me. And it matters to Jesus. It matters to me if somebody else has no idea whatsoever. I had a gal last week in chapel, and she wanted to know what I thought about, what did she say? Philippians 2, I can't remember which verse it was. But anyway, basically what she said, well, I just was reading a devotion today, and it talked about where Paul said, you know, you behave good when I was around, and it's important to keep doing good. And she said, so what do you think that says? So I got the Bible, because she didn't know exactly what it was, but then I found it and I read it, and I said, well, I think that it's, I said, is this a test? She said, yeah. I said, well, I think that what he's saying is that when I was there present, it appeared that you were doing all of this. It's even more important that you continue now that I'm away. Well, that's pretty straightforward, you know. I mean, I told her, I said, well, he's telling them to keep acting right. Did I pass the test? Yeah, that's pretty much what he said, you know. But, you know, the thing is, it's like a couple of weeks ago we talked about, you know, you need to keep following. You know? We need to keep going. We need to take what the Lord gives to us, what the Lord says to us, and we need to put it into action. It's wonderful that we have a wonderful time. And man, we are blessed. I'm telling you, we are blessed that the presence of the Lord, he just comes into Hosanna at Highmore. And he comes into every place that anyone that has ears to hear, you know, he comes to them. And so anybody that hears this, and we know that this message will be clear on the tape, anybody who listens to the message, something special, God has something special for you, and just eat it up. Maybe not in this word necessarily, but the encouragement that he's got something special for you. You know, a lot of people don't know that God has anything special for them. They don't suspect that he has anything special for them. You know? And if you don't expect anything from God, you won't recognize it when it comes, but it's around all the time. You know? We just don't know everything. But one thing we can know, I can tell you without any doubt, what you matter to God. You matter to God. Yesterday I was at the nursing home and I was telling them, you know, you are most important to Jesus. You've always been most important to him. You are the most important one. We talked about that. And it's true. If you don't believe that you're the most important one to Jesus, then you don't know God like you can know God. Because that's what some people, well, I'm not very important. Everybody is. Everybody is. I had a devotional this morning and they were talking about the Levites. They carried the temple, the tent. Man, oh man, 8,000 and some of them, each one had one thing that they took care of. And each one of them had their assignment. And every time that cloud moved, you know, I don't know. I don't think they were excited. I think, oh, here we go again, you know. Or sometimes it's like, we just got it set up, Moses, you know. Like, don't matter. Get your part. Get your part. Do you suppose they ever argued about, yeah, you're carrying that one little gold ring. Me, I'm under the big tent, you know. I mean, it's like, but that was their thing. And everyone was important. And it was important that everybody did their part just right. Because sometimes they got a little, what do I want there? What should I put there? Advertisements of the cost of a miscue, you know. So everybody was important, and we need to know that they're important, you know. Nadab and Abihu, poof, they sizzled like a fiery dart of the enemy, and they were gone, you know. So there were all kinds of little examples in the Bible that we're thankful that he doesn't do anymore, but we look at him and say, ooh, glad I didn't live then. I might have been one. But anyway, so I'm telling them, you can say without a doubt, you are the most important one to God. You are. And so then right at the end, we had a song, and then I said, okay, so now who's most important to God? And this one sweet little old lady said, me! And the other one sat there. I said, okay, who else is most important to God? And nobody else was quite so bold, but boy, she was. I was so proud of her. She said, me! Hallelujah! You know? So then I put my guitar away and I went and I talked to each and every one of them and I shook their hand and I said, are you most important to God? Most of the answers were like, I hope so. Well, I want to be, you know? I said, that works. That works. If you call upon the Lord, he hears you. It's important that people want to be important to God. Not one of them said, I don't care. No. I hope so. I want to be. I thought, well, that's a great start. They just started thinking about it. But that one gal, no thinking, and that's me. That's me, you know. Who gets comfort from God? That's me. Right? Who gets their hope from the Lord? That's me. I'm free. The Lord has set me free. I'm free. I'm free indeed. You know, we have to establish our faith in Christ to the degree that if we had to, we would certainly die rather than turn away from God. Now that's just a fact, you know. That's just a fact. We have to be, you know, we could sit and say, well, that'll never happen to me. The thing is I don't even want to have to, I don't want to say, let me think. You know, I don't want to say, are you serious? You know, no. I want to say, I will not. I absolutely will not. Because when we are solidly on the foundation that is Christ, then what's in the foundation is what should come from us. You know? What I speak into the microphone comes through the speakers. There's no hesitation on the part of the speakers. They don't always act the way that they should. They don't always have the sound that I want them to have. But they have no choice but to repeat what I say. Because that's their role. And so we bear these gifts in earthen vessels. You know? And when God says, I have something special for you, that does not get translated into, he must have something special for everyone but me. That is me. Who does God have something special for? Does God have something special for you? Yeah. Does he have, you know? Now, when I first met Jesus, I was so thankful to be saved that I said he never has to do another thing for me. I am sufficiently sanctified. I mean, he's already done everything for me that he ever has to do. I am just satisfied. And it's like the Lord said, well, that's really noble, Roger, but just watch. You know, that sounds holy, doesn't it? God doesn't have to do anything for me. I want to, God says. I want to take care of you because I say in the Word, I had Paul tell you, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. You're going to make a liar out of him? You're going to make a liar out of me? Are you smarter than me? Do you know more than me? Where were you when I formed the world? Okay, I got it. I get it, Lord. You know? I mean, that's, I just do. I get it. Don't you get it? Huh? When you think about all that God has done for you, do you find something that he hasn't done that's what you focus on more? Yeah, well, that's okay, but just be sure and thank him for the things that he's done. But isn't that just like the enemy, you know? He's done 10,000 things for you, but there's this one that I'm still waiting on. He hasn't got it quite right, you know? Just put that one at the top of the list like it's already happened and then just go on because God's working even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we can't feel it, he's working. He is. I'm telling you, and I know that there are some people that would have. I'm not going to knock anybody, okay? But I mean, it's like there's a certain faction of Christianity that just thinks we shouldn't care about the political atmosphere. We'll just leave that to somebody else. But here's the thing: that's not how God feels. You know. I mean, we are standing, and it's important. It's important that we do that, you know. But there are some that just think that's awful, and they think that people that are Christians shouldn't be patriots, and they think that they should leave that to somebody else. But who's better to guide that than people who follow Jesus? You know. And so what I was going to say is that people of that mindset would fit in real good in Bonhoeffer's time. The church stayed out of it. The church didn't do anything. And 6 million Jews were annihilated. because nobody said anything. You know? That's not my business. Didn't Paul say, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Yeah. Aren't you paying attention? You know? I think that we had a better chance at soon being killed for being Christians than we know. But now they're arresting people that do stuff. I hope that they know that they're important to Jesus. But my heart's tender and compassionate about, and perhaps passionate about those things. Jesus is Lord. I want the one nation under God. I want the foundation to be God. Because if God has a say, then we're on our way, right? And so Paul was just writing to them, and I just love it when I think about it. He just started out with them ready to go cheering, and then he said, okay, so act like it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Let God know. Let God know what you need and just praise him. Hallelujah. You know? Just, you know, walking down the street. Don't have to say anything. Just go walking down the street. Some of what's the matter with him? Just having a fit. Having a praise fit. You know, I'm just going to praise the Lord. Sometimes I use that on my motorcycle. I used to. I probably better not do that until I get riding it more. You know, going down the road and go, people, not with Vicky with me, of course, you know that she responds violently to that. But, you know, it's like, let's do the wave, folks. Let's do the wave, you know. Crazy, crazy. That's what we are. We're crazy about the Lord, you know. What we have is a sound mind that God has given us that doesn't fit in society. Not the way society would like it to. But we've been given the great opportunity to live for Jesus. To stand even when we are weary, you know? To praise him. Sometimes it's possible that we would need to bring a sacrifice of praise. It's possible that we sometimes we have to praise the Lord for what we know and not what we see, you know? Because his word says to praise him. You get lifted up when you praise the Lord. You know? That's what the word said. Let's see if we can get it to work. You know? I bought Morris a cat toy. And I didn't know if it was going to be the real deal or not. And when it came, it was a little bit smaller than I expected it to be. It didn't cost much. But that little cat toy, why, it just works like a charm. I had to read to figure out how to get it to work. And the cat figured it out better than me. That toy... will run around and do stuff, and then it'll go to sleep. Now, she will just watch it while it's doing stuff. But if it goes to sleep, she goes and slaps it, and it wakes back up. She knocks it around until it gets going again, and then it's just her entertainment, you know? It's just really something that works perfectly. Do you know that Christ in you works perfectly? Always. He never fails. He never grows weary of well-doing, and he never grows weary of inspiring you. He never does. Now, fortunately, if we doze off, he doesn't slap us, you know. But the Spirit of God is always, always, always faithfully working, and the Holy Spirit is always charged up. We have to charge up that toy sometimes. If it won't wake up when you slap it, you have to plug it in, you know? And maybe sometimes we might go through times where we need to wake up. I'm not talking about whether we fall asleep or not. I'm talking about we might just need to wake up. You know? We just might need to charge up. You know? We might just need to pick up and let the Lord speak to us. You know? I want the Lord to continually speak to us. You know? I'm not gonna quit. He just keeps getting better. He just really does. And it's good for us to respond to his better. You know? It's just good for us. We should expect that. That's why the cat slaps that thing, because she has some expectations for that toy. You know? She wants it to perform. I want to perform according to. There is comfort in Jesus. There is such benefit in knowing Jesus. There is, you know. And there's no sense in slowing down until you launch out. You know? It would just be silly to, you know, to not be rejoicing as long as you live, because he says rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He's the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my refuge and my protector and my tower. He's my everything. So we have to believe, right? What do we have to believe? We have to believe that he is. He is what? He's whatever we need. He's whatever all the time. God is. God is able. God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what I can hope or imagine. I can't imagine actually being in the situation of somebody offering to cut off my head if I don't deny Jesus. I can't get a real, but I can get a real response to it. Stand, therefore. When you've done everything to stand, stand. Put on the Holy Spirit and don't ever take him off. No. And we will be rejoicing in the Lord. Always. Because he is worthy of that, right? He's worthy of that. He's worthy of a praise. Even on our worst of days. He's worthy of a praise. I sing to the Lord in between the pods at the jail. And I heard myself singing about, you were there when I didn't care. And a lot of other things, but that's the thing that stuck out to me. He was there when I didn't care. When I just didn't care. You were there. Well, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Doesn't that just fill you with some compassion for the people who don't care? There's people that don't care. But God's there. Amen. We're thankful to you, Lord, that you are always present. Always present to forgive, to heal, to direct, to correct, to encourage. You're just always present. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be aware of what matters to Jesus. And to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.